You're listening to Vegan and Vibrant, a podcast featuring interviews with inspiring vegans from all walks of life. We hear a lot about vegans' experiences with physical health, but what about how they stay strong mentally, emotionally, and spiritually? I'm Valerie Martin, aka Val the Vegan Therapist, and I'll be your host as we explore the intersection of veganism, justice, and internal well-being with our guests every other week. Whether you're vegan or just veg curious, thanks so much for being here. Before we jump in, I wanted to make sure to tell you about my free guide, a response cheat sheet for hard conversations about veganism. Calling on my 10 years of experience as a therapist, helping people learn how to navigate difficult emotions and conversations, and 4 years as an ethical vegan, I've created this cheat sheet guide of scripts to offer you examples for how to respond as effectively as possible in challenging moments. This guide will help you talk about veganism in a way that strengthens both your relationship and your message. Download it now over at valthevegantherapist.com/response-cheat-sheet. And now let's get into the episode. Hello there, friends, and welcome back to Vegan and Vibrant. So happy that you are here listening. It's been, well, you know, we're like almost a year into this COVID thing, so I don't quite know how to describe how it's been. Life in my bubble has been somewhat boring, as boring as life can really get, given that I'm excited about everything all the time. But, you know, no news, and no news these days is largely good news. Well, I guess the biggest thing, which is pretty exciting, although I have mixed feelings about it, I was able to get vaccinated as a behavioral healthcare worker, and I just yesterday did my first sessions back in my office with real humans in masks, and it was wonderful. I think there will probably be people who continue to opt for virtual without masks. Totally understand that, whether it's convenience factor, mask factor, whatever, comfort level. Even though I'm vaccinated, there's still so much that we don't know. And part of why I say mixed feelings, like I'm incredibly grateful to have the opportunity to be vaccinated. And I know that it will make a difference in some of my clients' care to be able to come into the office. But it's bittersweet because there are so many people who I know really needed this vaccine more than I do. And unfortunately, many of them don't yet have the opportunity to get it. So I guess, you know, just kind of rolling with it. I did that. I am a couple weeks out after my second dose. So yeah, and that kind of opens up the world a little bit more to me, though it's still very cautiously, because like I said, a lot that we don't know. So that's the biggest thing going on in my world, other than all the things that I'm currently excited about, which, you know, changes on like a daily or weekly basis. So yeah, let's talk about the podcast. Oh my goodness. Okay, so normally I record these intros before I write the show notes. And this time I wrote the show notes first and I'm like, I can't say it better than this. This is what I want to say. So I might read what I wrote here in the show notes and then I will share Brandon's bio with you and we'll jump into the conversation because you are in for a treat with this one. Okay, so you know that feeling when you first interact with someone and you're like, yeah, we're gonna be friends. That is how I felt when I met Brandon Blake, virtually, of course, because he lives in Seattle and I'm in Nashville. So I'm dubbing Brandon the vegan Mr. Rogers, and I was glad to hear that that is a compliment in his eyes as well. Mr. Rogers is a huge, I wouldn't say idol of mine because I'm very different. I'm not living up to that, but oh my gosh. I mean, idol in some sense, he's just a phenomenal human, gave so much of himself to the world. Saint Rogers. Anyway, so Brandon, similarly, is one of those people whose light shines so brightly that you're like, is this dude seriously like this all the time? What are you on? Because I want some of that. But then this cool thing is really learning that there's so much more to him than that bright smile. There's a lot more to his story than meets the eye. And his joy is real and deep, but it's also born out of a very painful experience that he almost died several years ago in a really horrific bike accident. But once he came through the other side of what he has dubbed Carmageddon, he knew he wanted to make the most of the bonus time he'd been given. So we get to hear a lot about bonus time in this conversation, which is awesome. And it's just so inspiring to like truly carpe this freaking DM and live your life, really the gift of it. One of the things that Brandon did in that bonus time is unexpectedly befriended a turkey person named Ziggy. And Ziggy changed his life. After going to Posado's safe haven and meeting Ziggy and some of the other animals, Brandon and his wife Sabrina went vegan. And now they are huge animal advocates, activists, and Brandon actually now works for Posado's Safe Haven as their humane education coordinator. And he does really cool stuff. You'll get to hear about Sanctuary Circle Time, which happens every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Central Time. I have been and watched some of the episodes on replay on their Facebook page, and it is so, so good. You will get even more of this awesome Brandon energy. It's sort of like something that's great to watch whenever you're just kind of feeling down and you can't bring yourself out of it, and you're like, I just need to watch a cat video right now or some Sanctuary Circle Time, even if you can't fit in a whole episode. Okay, that's all that I have. Oh, except for Brandon's bio. Let me just see if there's anything that I have not shared. You can see the full bio in text on the show notes, valthevegantherapist.com. So let's see, Brandon also works on youth engagement with classrooms to help connect kids with farmed animals in order to help them see the animals as their friends. Sanctuary Circle Time, again, you'll hear more about it, is his Saturday morning kids show where you get to learn about animal friends promoting kindness, compassion, and vegan living to kids far and wide. And he also taught preschool for 14 years. So this is really the first opportunity that he's had to talk about veganism openly and honestly with kids. Brandon lives in Seattle, as I mentioned, with his wife, Sabrina, their two kitties, Pee-wee and Lois, and their recently adopted toy Yorkie named Fabio, rescued by Posado's Safe Haven from a puppy mill. He finds additional joy playing music and doing multilingual calligraphy, as well as cooking delicious food made from plants with Sabrina in quarantine. You can follow Brandon on Instagram at bonustimemusic. You can also email him to set up a classroom presentation for kids. That email address is in the show notes. And check out Circle Time, of course. All right, my friends, let's jump into the conversation. Okay, so we're here with Brandon Blake, and who I just told you a little bit about in the intro. And I think Brandon has a little bit, I mean, you're a preschool teacher, so you know how to help the people come into presence.
That's right. What's up, everybody? Hi, friends. Hello, my friends. My name is Brandon. I also go by Teacher Bando. That's my preschool nickname.
Love it.
And that is what you can call me. You can call me Teacher Bando. You can call me Brandon. But you, my friend, out there in the ether, whatever you're doing right now, driving a car, vacuuming, doing dishes, petting your companion animals, whatever you're doing, I want you to just be present just for a moment. If you can, close your eyes and take three deep breaths. If you're driving a car, do not close your eyes, but take three deep breaths with me. Let's do it. Let's just be present. Feel your feet on the ground and let's take those deep breaths together. You ready? Breathe in.
Ready.
Breathe out. Be here. Breathe in. Breathe out. And one more for the super present. Breathe in and breathe out. We're all here together. Hi, friends. Hi.
Here we are. And I will just say before we push record, Brandon had me get up and do 10 jumping jacks with him.
That's right.
Which was great. And it kind of made me reflect on like,
huh, why don't I start like all my therapy sessions with my clients this way of like, here we are. Sometimes yeah. we get so, I mean, talking and processing and being heard and seen and all of that is obviously super important, but we do get kind of really stuck in the wall of words when we're just like speaking from the anxious ball of our brain. And I think sometimes even just those few moments to settle in, regardless of what we're bringing with us, can help us just to be like, okay, we're here. Here we are.
Yeah, I love that. And I wanted to share that with your friends, your listeners, because being present is going to be one of the things we're talking about today. And I just want to be able to share that gift with anybody listening. Because here's the way it works. Anybody listening right now, I don't know who's listening. I don't know you. And you don't know me. But now you're getting to know me. And now we're connected. And you're my friend. And like, you're hearing me. My voice is going in your brain and in your heart. And that's special to me. And I want to share this gift of bonus time of being present, and we'll unpack all of that. But I'm just really, really grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for anybody listening because I just want to share joy.
Yeah, love it. There's so many questions that I want to ask, and we'll get to many of them. But the first one is just, what is your favorite vegan meal? Could be recent, could be of all time.
My favorite vegan meal right now. This is going to sound like a cop-out, but it's anything we're making in quarantine. It's anything we're making right now in quarantine, because I'm just so grateful that we can eat and we're safe and healthy and happy, and we can quarantine safely and eat good food. I'm so grateful for every delicious vegan meal that I get to eat at home. Now, with that said, my favorite vegan meal, oh, that's so tough, but I'm going to go with a local food truck here in Seattle, Washington. There's a vegan food truck called Cycle Dogs, and they do a copy of a Big Mac called the Big Mick, and it's spot on without the cruelty and suffering and exploitation. So it's super amazing, and they're good people who run it. Another place called No Bones, that is a victim of the pandemic. Have you heard of No Bones?
Yes, and I'm trying to remember. Because I was like, I thought I had only been to Seattle when I wasn't vegan, but I think I spent one night in Seattle since I've been vegan for some, I was maybe before or after a training, and I went there and it was so good. They closed.
Yeah. They closed during the pandemic, and it's so sad. Their anniversary of opening is my wife's birthday, February 2nd, Groundhog's Day. Oh. And Sabrina was so excited to be able to spend every birthday at No Bones. And they're gone.
So. Man, this freaking pandemic. I know my this yoga studio I teach at closed. Like it's, yeah, there's, but like you said, it has been a time to really have to find the joy in the small things and in the home cooked meals and all of that. So
for sure.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, this is what happens when we mistreat our animal friends that we share the earth with. We have to quarantine for a year. It's ridiculous. So I am doing what I can to help people see that there's a way forward where we can actually prevent future pandemics just by eating plants. It's like the simplest thing in the world. And I'm just trying to do it through the lens of love and compassion, even though I have my own, you know, anxieties of the world that we live in. But, you know, I got to put out what I want to get, and that's love.
Absolutely. So I was actually surprised to see when you filled out my little thing that you'd only been vegan for a little over 3 years, because you just have that vibe about you that you're like, I've been vegan forever. So tell me like how you got there.
Well, you know, I should have been vegan for a long time.
Oh, I mean, me too. All of us, right?
You know, every vegan says, you know, what's your greatest regret? It's that I didn't do this sooner. And here's the thing. I believe I've had a vegan soul the whole time.
Totally.
And I believe you've had a vegan soul the whole time. And I believe just about everybody has had a vegan soul out there the whole time. And what I mean by that is, we're all born with this innate love for animals and compassion and kindness and caring. And the layers of society put blankets on that compassion and really stifle it from coming out. You know, for example, you know, as a preschool teacher, on one hand, I've got preschoolers who are learning all about the animal friends, the wheels on the bus, and their, you know, old McDonald had a farm, right? These are all the songs we grew up with. Not wheels on the bus, there's no animals on the bus, but old McDonald had a farm, right? Or I've changed it to old McDonald had a sanctuary.
Love
so,
it.
You know, kids are learning all about these animal friends and they love them and they want to help them and they want to be with them and they want to pet them and all that. But at the same time at lunchtime, they're eating chicken nuggets and drinking cow's milk. Mm-hmm. So the cognitive dissonance starts from when we're kids, and it's not until we go vegan and can peel the curtain back and see the matrix of carnism that is in place that allow us all to love animals and also exploit them and kill them and eat them. So my journey was one of, you know, being a kind and compassionate person, but also realizing now how kind of self-driven I was. Like I was kind and compassionate, but it was towards people and towards companion animals. And I loved to eat animals. And looking back, it just, there's so much cognitive dissonance realizing what I allowed myself to participate in. And I really think the greatest gift of me becoming vegan in these last 3.5 years has been being able to live a life where I have aligned my values and my ethics with my actions. Mm. And my heart feels so free. I feel so unburdened by what I know society participates in. And that journey has been incredible. I didn't even get into why yet, but that's just like kind of my spiritual take on it.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it's so true that it's really two sides of the coin of like, you just talked about this liberation of being able to live in alignment with love in such a deeper way. And then the flip side of the coin is the dystopia thing of like, oh, yeah. Fuck, there is a lot of pain in the world. And so it's just important, like anything, to acknowledge both sides of that.
Hmm. That's right. I think, you know, it's like the yin yang, right? Like mm-hmm. the darkness and the light together. Now that I see the world for what it is, I see how animals are exploited and killed every day for our own consumption. I just see the suffering. And because I'm a deep empath, it's just, it hurts my heart in ways that I wasn't prepared for. Mm-hmm. And so I do suffer from dystopia, and I do have anxiety, and I do have depression, and I am open about that. And I am full of joy, but I'm also full of a lot of sadness. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that helps alleviate that sadness is when non-vegans that are in my life show allyship in some small ways. Really appreciate non-vegans taking steps, asking questions, tell me more, you know, leaning in rather than covering their ears, eyes, and heart and saying, I don't want to hear about it. I can't. It's too hard. That's not what I can handle. So we always say, if it's too hard for your eyes to watch or too difficult for your ears to hear, it shouldn't be good enough for your stomach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I echo that for sure. Like having been to plenty of family and other gatherings where it was like, I just knew that if I wanted to eat anything, I was going to need to bring it myself, which, you know, I'm willing to do that. But then being surprised at times by people then being like, oh, hey, we made this vegan for you. It's just like, you feel so, so loved. And it's like, even if that's just one small step that person took for that one time. And then they, you know, I've seen a lot of people then do it again. And they're like, oh, yeah. My mother-in-law, for instance, she loves making this cucumber dip that's has a sour cream base. And she started making it with the tofutti sour cream for us.
Nice.
And then she's like, I mean, and she's, you know, 70 something and pretty set in her ways in a lot of ways, regarding food at least. And so, you know, I don't have any hope that she's gonna transition to vegan, but she's like, oh, I always make it with tofutti now because it tastes better. I'm like, heck yeah.
That's a win. That's a huge win. Your mom and my mom sound like they're cut from the same cloth. My mom is also in her 70s and also set in her ways and doesn't, doesn't want to change how she eats. But I know that she hears the message of veganism.
Yeah.
I know that she understands it. And I know that she knows it's the right thing to do and ultimately the right direction.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, she's even cut out eating turkey. Like she met my turkey best friend, Ziggy. And, you know, he's pretty critical to my vegan story. But my mom stopped eating turkey because she met Ziggy. And she's like, you know, after I met him, I couldn't anymore.
Wow.
And so Ziggy and his brother Bowie are two turkeys that lived at Posado Safe Haven Animal Sanctuary, where I work in Washington.
Which is amazing. I'm so jealous.
Love it. It's great. It's great. And we'll totally unpack all of that. But Ziggy was a turkey with his brother Bowie that lived at Posado Safe Haven. And my wife Sabrina had a coworker that wanted to do a compassion day at this sanctuary that we had never heard of. This is like 4 years ago at this point, over 4 years maybe. She said, hey, we're gonna do this. And we liked volunteering, we enjoyed that. We started volunteering, we went to volunteer and I met a turkey that day. I was like, I'd never been to an animal sanctuary. And at this point, Sabrina and I were vegetarian and we thought we were like, we're on the mountaintop. We're doing it. You know, we've opted out of cruelty. We love animals. We're vegetarian. Yay. Look at us. And we show up at this animal sanctuary and we do this volunteer day. And in the turkey yard, and I had never met turkeys in my life. For me, turkeys was an ingredient in food, which is awful to say now, but I'm being real and also recognizing that everybody's on a journey and you're going to have people listening to this that are not vegan. And that's okay as long as you're leaning in and you're listening and you're thinking. As long as people are using their brains and thinking with their hearts and their minds, they're going to get there on whatever timeline that is, because ultimately veganism is the next great global fight for social justice. Like it is the next big social justice movement that people are going to really be a part of en masse, because they're going to see, wait a minute, we're fighting for justice, but there's injustice all around us and we're fueling our bodies with injustice. Mm-hmm. Oh, this isn't working. Like it's going to click. It's going to happen. And the sooner people get there, the quicker we can change this planet, the quicker we can just get do away with so much of this violence and hatred. If we stop fueling ourselves with suffering, maybe we can put out some less suffering.
Yeah.
That
is a tangent. I was just talking yesterday, it's okay, about, you know, intersectional veganism in my group. And I think that like, unfortunately, there are subsects in the vegan movement that have really not done any favors for the vegan movement when they have, you know, made certain comparisons to the Holocaust or whatever, or just made it seem like, oh, well, we can't get distracted from our message of, you know, of animal oppression. It's like, no, all of these things are interrelated. They all, we can work on them at the same time.
That's right. That's right. In fact, the intersectionality is such a beautiful thing because it recognizes we're all in this together. We all need to be advocating for each other. We all need to be fighting for all of our causes, because if it's just the group that's fighting for their own rights and they don't have other people that are not in that group also fighting for those people's rights, then they're not going to get as far as they would if they had the Gotong Royong, which is Indonesian for teamwork, right? Mm-hmm. Gotong Royong is what we need. We need teamwork. We need to be united in this effort to solve climate change, to get our bodies to stop being so broken down because we're feeding it with, you know, just toxic animal waste. It's just, it's unbelievable. But let me go back, Valerie.
Yeah.
Sorry. Ziggy and Bowie. we're at this animal sanctuary. I'd never met turkeys for the, and we're meeting them for the first time. And I just totally clicked and connected with this turkey named Bowie. Mm-hmm. And one of the volunteers, never seen him react to somebody the way he's reacting with you. He's literally never done any of this. So, you know, with Ziggy or with Bowie, his brother, he was like bumping up on my back and chuffing, which is filling his chest with air and puffing and getting all excited. And we totally connected. And I looked into his eyes, like we were like right there face to face. And I looked in his eyes and I could literally see my reflection in his eye reflecting back at me. So it was this like deep metaphor.
Sorry, I had to.
The Ziggy thing. All right, that's good. Now I'm going to have that stuck in my head all day. Some Peter Gabriel boombox in the air. So I looked into his eyes and I saw myself reflected back. And it was that moment where I was like, we're the same. Like, he's a person. He's a person just like me.
A turkey person.
He's a turkey person. That's exactly right. I'm a human person. He's a turkey person. And it was a real light bulb moment. And then we wound up walking down the path after we were done in the turkey yard, helping out for a little bit. We went to go meet the cows in the cow pasture. And we were vegetarian.
There
remember.
Goes your dairy. You're...
Oh, my God, Val. We met Bessie, the retired dairy cow, who was used and exploited for her reproductive system for her whole life. And her story was told to us. And all laid out happened to a cow in order for a human to drink milk or consume cow cheese. And we were horrified. And Sabrina fed Bessie pumpkins and like they had a really deep connection. And she looked into her eyes and she's like, oh my God, I'm using these women for their reproductive values when I'm fighting for reproductive rights for humans. Like, what am I doing here? It's like, you know, that light bulb moment. And I wish everybody could have that kind of a light bulb moment connecting with an animal, which fast forward led me to be able to not only volunteer at Posada Safe Haven for years, but ultimately be hired by them to be their humane education coordinator, which is what I do now, so I can help others connect with animals and let them into their heart and broaden their circle of compassion. That's ultimately what it is. How do we broaden our circles of compassion?
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I wonder, like, and obviously during COVID, everything is different. And I know you're doing lots of really cool stuff online to still connect with people and share the animals with them, which I want you to tell us about in a minute. But normally, in terms of like who visits the sanctuary, is it mostly vegans who are like, yay, I want to support animal sanctuaries and connect with the animals? Or are there people who aren't vegan who are coming and like little kiddos that you get to see and teach and help spread this message to?
Both. It's cool. Absolutely both. And the cool thing about that is Posada Safe Haven, we work with a lot of homelessness in the cat and dog populations, and we deal with a lot of neglect and abuse cases. So we have a lot. We have like a whole kitty city, is what it's called. We have like the cat compound, and we have amazing caregivers who work there, Amy and Joan, who are just absolute rock stars, and they take care of up to, you know, 60, 70 cats at a time, depending on if there was a hoarding case that just got busted, and we have an influx of cats that we need to rehabilitate and get well enough so they can be adopted. And then with dogs, we have puppy mills that we shut down, and those are abuse cases, and we have an amazing place called Dogtown, and Michelle leads that, and we've got some amazing caregivers that are just absolute geniuses with these dogs that have never known love or affection, and they've only known suffering and abuse and neglect. So It's really incredible. So a lot of the people that come to Posadas come there because of dogs and because of cats, because
Cool.
we know how much humans connect with dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. And Posadas Safe Haven, we know how important dogs and cats are in our society as it stands right now. And we want to make sure people know to adopt and not shop, and why shopping for dogs has actual real life repercussions for dogs and how they suffer and how they're exploited. And by adopting, you're taking money away from the systems that are abusing dogs, and you're empowering sanctuaries and rescues and shelters that are working hard to save and rehabilitate so many dogs that are already out there that just need good homes. So,
and we know that there's so many people who are totally on board with the adopting cats and dogs, but maybe like me until I was 30, like very much compartmentalized what I ate, you know? And same. So it's like, once they get to somewhere like Posadas, maybe they're coming there for a cat, and then they're like, oh, well, who are these other animals? Oh, wait, what are you saying to me?
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely how it works for it. That's how it cool. worked for me. I was just excited to go volunteer, and it changed my life. And Bowie and his brother Ziggy, I mean, they're my North Stars of compassion. They're gone now. I lost Ziggy in 2020, as if 2020 wasn't bad enough in so many ways. You know, losing Ziggy was really hard. And you know, he was just such a special friend to me. He was the earthling that showed me, like, I really need to knock it off with this humans are superior nonsense, because it's only hurting me, it's only hurting the planet, and it's only hurting the animals. And I knew that if I was going to live my bonus time, as I call it, I had to do it authentically. And that meant for everybody, everywhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were saying earlier, you know, that vegan soul, that soul that sees other beings as equally valuable to human life was always within you. It's just, we need the right information. We need the access to that. We need to have that activated. And, going back really quick, I wanted to clarify, I was talking about my mother-in-law. My mother has been wonderfully supportive, and she's actually a fairly significant way herself in the past 4 years that I've been vegan. And so I'm very, very grateful for that support. And there was something else I was going to say about that. I can't remember, but that idea of that it's within you. So I was reading this article, which we're going to talk about, but I'm just going to say the article about you started with this story of a little bird and you being sad about this little bird. Well, of course, come to find out, that story was written before you were vegan.
Right
there in the beginning of that story, there's evidence of that part within you. And it made me think of my husband too, who has always been that way with animals, but not until we both kind of came onto this journey together did we make the connection. And so that just was really special to me to see that and to know, like, oh, the seeds were already planted. But yes. So bonus time, which you've mentioned, relates to what was in that article. So I would love for you to tell us about that history and how, what bonus time really means.
Sure. Bonus time is a term that was coined from somebody else. I heard it from a stranger. It's like one of those moments that, like, it was a stranger told me this, I'll probably never see them again, and it was gifted to me. Bonus time is the idea that we never know what circumstances take place over the course of our lives that allow us to still be here today, right now, in the shape that we're in. And there's a confluence of events that have happened that allow you to be listening to this podcast right now, doing whatever you're doing. You are here. And that is absolutely incredible. My bonus time started on July 25th, 2013, when I was teaching preschool. I had my preschool kids at the Museum of Flight in Seattle. We were learning all about rockets and space and exploration. And I was trying to get these young English language learners excited about space and exploration and rocketry. Because when you teach little kids, you see those astronauts? Do you see all those people? Do you see how she went to space? She's an astronaut. She's been to space. Guess what? She used to be a preschooler, just like you. She used to color with crayons. She used to build with blocks. So if you dream it, if you believe it, if you can do it, you can make it happen, right? And so that day was, I think, without a doubt, like one of my highlights of teaching, because it was the culmination of like a year's worth of learning for them. And they were in the Museum of Flight Val. They were like, look, there's Yuri Gagarin and there's his Soyuz capsule. And look, I see a space shuttle. Those are the solid rocket boosters. And they were so excited. And they're like, look, oh my God, there's the Blackbird. And they knew all this stuff. And these strangers were like, hey, how old are these kids?
How do they know so much about this?
That's what they said. They're like, how do they know so much? I'm like, because they're smart and they're amazing and they're capable, right? Because like people always say kids like, oh, you're so cute. That's a physical attribute. Mm-hmm. We got to get away from that and say, yeah. Oh, you're so smart and capable and strong and compassionate and kind and curious. Exactly. So that day, Valerie, was like the best day ever. And the kids had a blast, got them back to preschool, laid them down to nap. They're all passed out. I said goodbye to my fellow teachers. I got on my bicycle to bike home. And I remember being two blocks away from preschool. And I thought I had my helmet on. I was all, riding along. And I remember thinking, I can close my eyes and remember it. And I said, wow, what a great day. That's why I do what I do. And then the next thing I remember, I was waking up in a hospital bed with my wife holding my hand and my legs were pinned down by restraints and I couldn't feel anything in my body. And I apparently was waking up from a coma the next day. So I had come to learn that, around another 2.5 miles after that memory, it was all gone, but 2.5 miles after that memory, I was going through an intersection where I had the right of way, where a woman made a really quick left-hand turn in a rush to beat a yellow light. Mm-hmm. And T-boned me, plowed right into me, my face and my head. It all came crashing into her door jam, and I almost died on the scene. The first responder said, that guy should have died. That guy should not be here. Like they said, 9 times out of 10, that's a call to family saying, I'm really sorry, but he didn't make it. And they airlifted me. No, sorry. They put me in, not airlift. They put me in an ambulance. I was close enough to the trauma center. So they brought me to Harborview Medical Center, and they stabilized me, had my brain bleed go down. My brain was swelling. And, they put me in a medically induced coma because I was choking and they thought I was going to drown in my blood. I'm sorry to be so graphic. Mm. I'm explaining this because that should have been the end of my timeline. Like, right. If like, we're not in the era of modern medicine, I'm a goner. I am not here speaking with you today. So I'm living in bonus time, Valerie. And it's that idea of like, I kind of should have been gone. If any one thing was a little bit different, I'm not here today. So what do I do with that time? What do I do with this gift of bonus time that I have? And one of the gifts that I can share is that you don't need to be hit by a car and almost die bleeding on a street corner to find your own bonus time. We don't know what circumstances have taken place. That one day you skipped school, that one day you were late to work, but you found out there was an accident on your commute, or that one time you heard about a really bad accident on a road that you frequent a lot. You never know.
Sliding doors moments.
What's that?
Oh, the movie. You have to watch it.
Oh, it's the movie. I never saw that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's sliding doors. That one little thing. you know, your trajectory is different. And that any of us, even if we were not aware that we could have almost died, any of us could have almost died any day of our lives.
That's right.
We are all, we can all live in bonus time.
That's right. And on the 1 year anniversary of bonus time, my wife got this really, really beautiful ring made for me where it has four stones. It has two, an aquamarine and an amethyst. Those are the colors of my bike, orange and not amethyst. Anyway, I'm not good with stones, but anyway, there's an orange stone and a light blue stone. Yeah. And then there's a diamond for my birth year of April and a ruby for my new birth. Birth month of April, and a ruby for my new birth month of July. So it symbolizes Carmageddon. Carmageddon is the name of the day, Carmageddon. Yeah. And, you know, I could have let that day wreck me and ruin me, but I'm just trying to have it make me better. I definitely suffer from anxiety and depression. I definitely find myself in moments where I'm not even remembering my own bonus time, and I'm not being present, and I'm not being full of joy. But I share that also because we all suffer and we all go through it. But I just want people to realize this bonus time thing, it's real, it's special, and it's yours.
Amen. And I think anyone, any of us, like we all obviously routinely forget the gift of life. And we have moments where we are feeling depressed or anxious or resentful or whatever. And so coming back to that truth is so powerful. And I think it's also important to say that the anxiety and depression that you may feel, in addition to just being a human who experiences stuff like that, that, you know, traumatic brain injury is a very real thing. So it's, I think hearing stories like yours is like, oh, yay, it had a happy ending. And like, and yes, it does. And bonus time is huge. And it's your entire philosophy you never would have had. And all this joy, all these, you know, however much time you're going to be given from that moment forward. And you've had to live with the impact of a traumatic brain injury and all the medical stuff that had to happen after Carmageddon. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. First 2 years of my recovery were spent on recovery. Like the first year I had like 189 doctor appointments. And, you know, you can see, well, your listeners can't see, but I have a scar going across my lip and my face. And I have some scars under my eyes. I have 7 titanium plates in my face. My face was completely surgically reconstructed. Sabrina put out a poll on Facebook. Hey, who should they recreate Brandon's face to look like, right? Because you got to laugh through the pain, because if you don't, we're always crying, right?
Oh, man.
So, you know, so she's great with humor. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And, you know, the person who won was Grumpy Cat. So she's like, all right, you got to reconstruct his face like Grumpy Cat. That didn't work. So,
they did a phenomenal job. Like you said, the marvels of what we can do now. And it's just amazing. And
I know.
Yeah. So I'm grateful that you had such a skilled and compassionate team working with you.
They were amazing. But, you know, honestly, all that bonus time, you know, the first 3 years, I was so focused on bonus time being for people, mm-hmm. people. And then when I met Ziggy and Bessie and all the other friends of Posado Safe Haven, I was like, shit, I need to open up this bonus time thing to everybody. And it's a little bit inconvenient because I like cheese. I like meat. I like eggs. I like honey. Yeah. Like, what am I going to do? Me. I like bonus time. I want to enjoy. Nom, 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 nom. So how do I reconcile, you know, quote unquote, giving up the things that I've always loved and enjoyed with the new knowledge of, oh my God, all of these friends are people too. And how am I going to live this life of bonus time where I'm trying to put out kindness and empathy and joy and compassion and love and light if I'm fueling myself with darkness and exploitation and suffering and death and all of the things that are just awful about how we exploit animals? So I just knew that, you know, peace in, peace out, good in, good out, it's fuel. And I needed to fuel myself with the compassion that I wanted to be. And I knew that I think the greatest lesson of bonus time, of Carmageddon, of that unbelievable accident where I sustained my brain injury that I still live with the effects today. It's that bonus time is for everybody. And my time on this earth is so freaking short. damn well better make sure that I'm doing everything I can to be as kind as I can, to add the least amount of harm to this world that I am currently occupying as I can. That's it.
Yes. That's all you need to know. You don't need to listen to any other podcasts ever. This is the message.
That's the message.
Yeah. And so because we know that staying aligned with that truth is a lifelong job because of all of the things just about, you know, being a human in this modern world and paying bills and all of this stuff and political coups and just all the things with being a person can distract us from that core truth. What are the things that are most important to you, practices that help you to take good care of yourself and that realign you with that truth?
That's a great question. One of the things that I do is I play a lot of music. I play this instrument called the sansula, which is a variation of the kalimba, which is in the family of the mbira, which is a lamellophone from Zimbabwe and Southern and Central Africa. So it's actually one of the world's oldest instruments. And I stand on the shoulders of giants who came before me when I play it. And it's one of the ways when I play it, I just remember the history and it helps ground me. So it's a grounding technique that I need to remember to do when I play. Mm-hmm. But here, I'll play for a second so your listeners can hear what this sounds like. So as you hear this, think about this as like a calming technique and just listen and take a couple deep breaths and do some visualization.
Beautiful. Thank you.
And that's definitely one of my techniques.
I love it. Yeah. Music, whether it's listening to it, creating it. And you also do some other music stuff too, right? Like with a band.
I'm not in my band anymore. I've only been doing my solo stuff for a while, but I play solo music, which I do miss a band. I miss playing with people. The pandemic's been hard on musicians.
Yeah.
It's hard on all of us, but you know, we musicians, we rely on playing with other people. So I've got a great setup. I have my bass guitar. I have like a whole constellation of instruments from a great company called We Play Well Together that have sponsored me and my music. And I have instruments that come from France and Germany and percussion instruments, these Zenko drums that are idiophones. And I have this monolina, this monochord that's like a zither drone. And that's very calming and centering. So I have all of these instruments and they really help. I have calligraphy. I love doing calligraphy and that's meditative and helpful. But I think one of the really important things to take care of a vegan soul is to find what avenue of advocacy works for you. Because there is no one way to be vegan. Mm-hmm. And there's no such thing as a perfect vegan. And there's no vegan club. We're not trying, you know, I heard somebody recently say it, and I can't remember who it was, but we're not trying to create a vegan club. We're trying to create a vegan world. You know, this is inclusive. This is for everybody, everywhere, doing it in all their own ways. You're in it for the animals? Great. Awesome. That's number one for me, but I'm super happy you're in it for the animals. You're in it for the environment. Awesome. We need that. You're in it because of feminism. Yes. You made those connections. Awesome. You're in it because of health. Awesome. Way to get healthy. Get on board. Oh, you're in it because you don't want to, you found out where that migrants and people of color are being exploited in packing plants and slaughterhouses. Awesome. Yeah, let's do away with that. So the intersectionality of everybody's causes intersects with veganism. So if you're a feminist vegan, if you're an environmentalist vegan, if you're a speciesist vegan, whatever the case may be, we're just glad you're here. Find your voice, find your outlet, and just remember that you will attract more people with kindness and love, science and fact, but delivered in non-judgmental ways than you will by sharing the eating meat is murder and oh my God, I can't believe you're killing these baby cows by drinking milk. Even though that's totally true, it's not the message that people are going to hear, right? It's all about how we deliver it. Are baby cows getting killed for people to drink milk? Yes. But that's not the leading thing that people are going to feel comfortable leaning in towards. It's, hey, did you know that drinking oat milk can reduce your water footprint compared to cow's milk by 94%? That's unreal, you know, like things like that. And oh, did you know that oat milk also lowers your cholesterol, whereas cow's milk really raises it? And I think that's what scientists are saying. One of the leading causes of heart problems is our consumption of dairy. So oat milk seems to be a pretty good solution. You know, in that way, it's not, hey, why are you still drinking cow's milk, even though you know I'm vegan and you know we shouldn't? That's just not going to work.
And it's also like about not being perfectionistic too. Like,
correct.
I'm thinking about, you know, it sort of goes without saying, but I will just add the sort of disclaimer of we're talking about doing what you can in the context that you're in. So if there are people who are in communities or parts of the world where it is grocery stores are not a thing or whatever, or like Coca-Cola is how you get your calories and chocolate milk is how you get your calories. Like, you know, there are people who are in a place where it feels less accessible. And of course, like from where we sit, we're like, yeah, food deserts. And we're like, oh, well, you know, like frozen veggies, canned veggies, rice, beans, like those are all very affordable, very accessible for most people in America and many other parts of the world. But it's just important to acknowledge that, you know, for people who this is just not possible for, we're not sitting here like judging them for like, I can't believe they're not vegan.
Yeah, 100%.
But
you know what?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You go ahead.
Okay. I think one of the things that is really important in this vegan movement is that there are vegan communities all over the world of all socioeconomic classes. There are vegans that are rich as fuck. There are vegans that are poor as fuck. And there's everybody in between. But one of the things that we need to do in the affluent world, especially in the affluent Western world, that so much of the rest of the world looks towards for social and cultural cues. Mm-hmm. So one of the reasons why meat consumption and dairy consumption exploded all around the world in the last 50 years is because the rest of the world wanted to be like the West, especially America. And so now they are, right? They've got KFCs and McDonald's and Burger Kings everywhere. And now everybody else is suffering from the same health problems that all of the Americans have been suffering from years. You have Japanese folk who live to be 102. Now they're dying at 68 because they're eating meat at every meal now. Mm-hmm. And because that American Western affluence influence kind of destroyed the rest of the world in relation to food and how we treat animals and how we have industrialized the process of raising and slaughtering earthlings. Now it's up to us to go the complete opposite direction.
Yeah.
And people like you and I, who I'm sitting here in my home that I rent, and I have instruments and I have heat that comes on, and I have a wife and I'm healthy and she's my great partner, and we've got companion animals that are rescued, and I have everything I need, and I'm so grateful for that. But here's the thing, Valerie. It's because I have all of this privilege, mm-hmm. I have all of this resource, and I have all of this have. Mm. It's up to me to use that have to help the others who don't have. And right. It's up to us to help influence how the rest of the world starts heading. And if we want to create a vegan world, we got to show the rest of the world we can do this. We can do this because we have the means, we have the ability, and we also have the information to know now, oh, we should opt out of this. Oh, it's kind of my duty as an earthling that is living on a planet in the middle of a climate crisis to do the right thing mm-hmm. and start to make these changes to hopefully influence other people to make the changes that influence other people to make the changes yeah. that influence other, you know, and it just right. keeps going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember what I was going to say about perfectionism too. Like, I think that there's people who get to a certain point on their vegan journey and then they're like, ooh, I need to reduce my waste. I think, you know, we've all been working on reducing waste and plastic bags and things like that and plastic bottles, but there's like sure. level 10, zero waste kind of people out there, but don't put that pressure on yourself if that's not where you're at. And that's, right. you know, like I've made progress in those areas, but that's not where I'm at to be a zero waste vegan. And that's okay. Wherever totally. You're at is okay. And for instance, like I'm trying to be a lot more mindful with my budgeting and grocery to like pay off this student loan debt and stuff. And so it's like, okay, well, normally I would buy $3 cashew milk or $4 cashew milk because I really like the taste and oh, it uses less water than making almond milk. Well, recently right. I've been buying $1.77 almond milk from Aldi and that fits in my budget and it still uses way less water than dairy milk does.
That's
so
right.
It's like meet yourself where you're at mm-hmm. and do what you can.
I think that's a great point. Meet yourself where you're at, do what you can. And every day is an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of animals. You know, every day, every meal, we have an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of animals. And it can feel so daunting. And like I had said earlier, when I was worried about like, oh, thinking about what did I have to give up when mm-hmm. I was going vegan. But I wish my future vegan self could have told the pre-vegan Brandon, Teacher Bando, I wish he could have told him, hey, listen, you're actually not going to be giving anything up. Here's the thing. You're not giving anything up. You're just changing the building blocks of what your food is made from. And that's one of the ways that I try to explain it to people. I say, look, you know, just imagine sets of Legos. And one set of, you know, and these are edible Legos, right? These are yummy, delicious, edible Legos. And you put them together and you can assemble whatever food you want. You can put your Legos together and make a cheeseburger. You mm-hmm. can put your Legos together and make a milkshake. You can put your Legos together and make a quinoa bulgur wheat salad. Or you can put your Legos together and make a cheeseburger and make a milkshake and make bacon. Mm-hmm. And you can make, chicken breast. Here's the thing. One of those sets of building blocks are the building blocks of suffering, death, exploitation, violence, oppression, all of that. Mm-hmm. And the other set of building blocks are building blocks of love, compassion, wholeness, wellness, kindness,
yeah.
equity, social justice. So we're not swapping out the kind of food we can eat. We're just swapping out the building blocks. You like bacon? Great. You can still eat bacon. Yep. It doesn't have to come from a pig. You can eat coconut bacon or even banana peel bacon I've
seen.
Or
shiitake bacon or right. tempeh bacon. There's so many. Yeah. And I love that analogy of the building blocks because mm-hmm. I feel exactly the same. Like I wish I could have told my past self, you can still have, not because this is what my judgment at the time, ew. Vegan ice cream is definitely disgusting. No,
yep, I remember.
You can, I mean, and it's sure that a lot of these products have improved in recent years and I'm very grateful for that. But we have so much delicious food and you can have queso, you can have all of it. And oh my gosh, like I just made this phenomenal sunflower seed Italian cheese that I'm just like, what? How does this?
Nice.
But the building blocks, it works. You know, plants can make incredible delicious food. And that's that, like you were saying, like you can attract flies, attract more flies with agave nectar, right?
That's right.
The attractivism. And like, I wish I had this jacket in here. I just took it off out. It's in the other room, but I got this jacket for Christmas by this brand Noise with a Z.
I've seen that.
Where they're based, maybe Canada, but oh my gosh, they're a cruelty-free vegan brand. Mm-hmm. It is the coolest looking jacket. And I'm like, I've only worn it a few times in public at the store and stuff, but I'm like, everyone is going to want this jacket. I'm going to get so many compliments on it. And I'm going to tell everybody it's this amazing vegan brand. Go check them out.
Yeah. I love being able to cross promote good people who are doing good things, making good products. So I'm all about that. Mm.
And you used the term a minute ago, pre-vegans, which I just love. Like, we're just attracting pre-vegans.
You know, I really do believe because future generations are going to look back and say, wait, what do you mean during the great pandemic of 2021? You weren't vegan once you learned that these pandemics were coming from animals and that you could stop this. What do you mean people didn't stop? So I think future generations are going to look back at what we're doing and how we live. They're going to look back harshly. They're going to look back harshly on how we don't have our shit together for racial justice. They're going to look back harshly on how we've continued to exploit BIPOC people all over the place in every way, shape, and form.
And the
land.
They're
going to look back. Yeah. And they're going to look back at how we exploit animals and say, that's atrocious. I can't believe you were eating animals, and the animals you were eating, you know, were not like lab grown or whatever. But, you know, back to what we were saying about finding your own outlet for advocacy. You wanted to hear more about what I was doing with Posado Safe Haven. So I wanted to share that's one of the ways that I felt that my advocacy now has a really healthy outlet where I can share the message of kindness and compassion as it relates to our animal friends and have it be in a really gentle environment and not feel like, you know, I'm in the cube of truth on a street corner, which also is an important part, right? Like every branch of veganism is important, but the cube of truth and showing footage from slaughterhouses on a street corner to strangers passing by is one way to make people aware of explaining animals is wrong. But the complete flip side of that is what I do. I have a Saturday morning kids show on Facebook Live called Sanctuary Circle Time with Teacher Bando. And it's an opportunity to have kids meet the animals at the sanctuary, and we read books and tell stories, and I have cooking features sometimes. In a few weeks, I'm going to be having my friend Riley, who is a 7-year-old vegan kid, who is this awesome friend of mine and viewer of the show. With him and his mom, they're going to do a cooking demo with me, and it's just a great way to get kids seeing animals as friends. So you know, that's like the first step. My show isn't telling kids, hey, kids, go vegan. Mm-hmm. My show is, hey, kids, I want you to see animals as friends. Mm-hmm. I want you to see these animals as people. Darla, she's a donkey. She's a donkey person. You know, Paul and Cusco, the llama, they're people. They're llama people. They're their own people. They have their own personalities, their own likes and dislikes. And I get to teach, like, what kind of snacks do they like? What kind of snacks do they not like? Oh, come here, Darla. Would you like some of the snacks that I have? Darla comes over and sniffs it and says, no, thank you. Look at that. And I get to talk about how, like, that's cool, because now I just got to show the kids that Darla the donkey won't eat just anything we give her. She says, no, I'm not in the mood for that. And then I say, do you ever have anything at your meals that you don't want to eat? And do you have other things that you really wish you could eat instead? That's just like Darla. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to help kids connect with animals and see how similar we are without necessarily needing to tell them what they need to do. It's a way to plant seeds, and hopefully those seeds will germinate into their own growth into being a more kind and compassionate person growing up in a cruel and violent world.
I love it. Yeah. And I just, it's clear that you have such a gift for communicating with young people. Not a gift that I have. Thank goodness there are people like you in the world and people like my husband, who's a fifth grade teacher.
Yeah, but, right up in Chris.
Yeah. So I've been to one circle time. I'm definitely going to go to more. And we'll get to all the links and everything, make sure that everything is in the show notes too, but tell the people when and how they can come to circle time.
Totally. So this weekend I will be reading my friend Blue Cow. I will be reading him a book called My Blue is Happy. And it's a book about emotions. And it's all about the different emotions and teaching kids how all of the emotions are all a part of being a person. And they're all okay, whether it's joy or even rage and anger. But what do we do? How do we channel it? What do we do with these feelings we feel? Like Mr. Rogers would say, what do we do with the mad that we feel? Oh my God, I'm going to cry.
I know.
He's my hero. So circle time is really fun. So we'll have it in the links, but all you have to do is on Saturday morning, go to Pasados Safe Haven. That's PASADOS. So Pasados Safe Haven on Facebook. And once you click on our page, we will be live Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So West Coast time, 10 a.m. Saturday mornings, Sanctuary Circle time. I'd love to have you there. It's not just for kids. It's for kids at heart.
Come to Circle Time. Soothe exactly. your heart.
This is the point. This is the point. We're living in a really upside down, chaotic world. We need things in our lives that allow us to recenter, find some calm, and find a safe space. So I promise you, Circle Time is that safe space. We're going to be talking about emotions with Blue Cow. And then the following week, I just got this book in the mail. I'm so excited. It's a kid's Ooh. Book about bullying. Cool. And I'm going to read this because this is a book that, you know, you think like, oh, okay, well, he'll read about bullying. That seems like a real preschool topic. But how does that relate to animals? Well, we can talk about bullying as bullying, we all know, like, bullying is when somebody else is treating somebody else unkindly, taking advantage of them, and exploiting somebody that feels weak, where they can't necessarily fight back or speak up for themselves. That's kind of like what we do to animals. And how can we help be, you know, the anti-bully? How can we be the hero for animals and not be bullies, you know? And so I'm
also
really
relevant
excited.
Content for adults.
That's actually what one of my managers said to me. She said, you know, just know that even though there's plenty of adults watching Circle Time and they're watching a kid show, these are very relevant topics for adults. Adults need to learn about bullying. Adults need to learn about compassion and empathy. So,
and you've talked about like gratitude and goal setting and all these things, but in ways that kind of bridge that multi-generational divide. So it's pretty
totally.
Cool.
We talk about families, we talk about belonging, we talk about all of these different topics. And in fact, any listeners out there, if you have a topic idea for Circle Time, hit me up, like send it to me. I'd love to hear your idea and drop by, say hi, and I'll make sure I say hi back. I love interacting in the Facebook Live format. There's lots of kids that ask questions, but there's also lots of adults that ask questions. So come on and join us for Circle Time.
And if you can't make it live, go watch the replay on Pasado Safe Haven page.
Word, that's right. It is always up for you to watch. In fact, you can go back and watch any topic that speaks to you right now. They're all up there archived on our Facebook page. So thanks, Val. Cool. Yeah, definitely go check it out. And if anybody wants to follow me on the socials, I'm at Bonus Time Music. So just find me and let's connect at Bonus Time Music. I'm just so happy that we got to do this, Val.
Oh, me too. Well, I'll share all the links. Is there anything else you want to tell the people? I know you already shared, I think, the deepest, most important message we need to hear right now. But if there's anything else, just want to make space for it.
Thank you. I would just leave my listeners with this. It's okay to feel all the emotions right now. It's okay to like know that you can lean into whatever you're feeling. Yesterday I had a pretty bad anxiety attack centered around the insurrection. And I was really upset and really fearful and really worried about the future. And today I feel great. And it's that knowledge of our emotions are like the weather. And I wish I could remember this when I'm in my darkest, because that's when I need it the most. But it's when the weather's clear that I totally remember this. But our emotions are like the weather. And like the weather, there's going to be days where it's beautiful and sunny, like it is right now in Seattle, Washington, with the blue skies and wispy clouds up high, and the birds are singing in the trees. And then there's other days, like 2 days ago in Seattle, where it was stormy and pouring rain and huge windstorms snapping trees and knocking things over. It was really problematic. A lot of people lost power. And even our sanctuary had some problems with some downed trees and branches. They were worried about the animals. So there's days where that's how our mind feels. Branches are breaking. Things are blowing away. We can't control anything. But then, you know what? That storm that felt like it was never going to end gave way to these blue skies. So no matter what anxiety, no matter what depression, no matter what fear you're feeling, it's okay, because just like the weather, it will clear up and you'll have sunny days in your head.
And just you are the sky. Yeah. You're the sky, not the weather.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. That's beautiful. Thanks, Val.
Thank you. This has been amazing. And I just so appreciate your time and everything you're doing for the animals.
Thank you so much. And listen, if there's any teachers out there and you have a classroom, definitely connect with me. I'm doing compassionate classroom activities where it's not just circle time. I'm partnering with teachers, working with classrooms. We know that in the age of Zoom, it's really hard for kids and they're struggling. So I'm just trying to get some animals on the screen for them, because it's different than a person and they're really excited to meet animals. So definitely connect.
Thank you so much for listening. Connect with me on Instagram at Val the Vegan Therapist. And if you loved this episode, I would so appreciate if you shared it with a friend or on social media. And don't forget to tag me so I can thank you. See you next time. And until then, may we all continue striving for peace, equanimity, and freedom for all beings.